God, it's so good.
So tasty.
So good and tasty?
This is EU Screams Election Bites. I'm James, a journalist who's crisscrossed Europe for 15 years now, covering politics and the economy. You might have heard that large numbers of citizens of European Union member states living in Britain weren't able to exercise their right to vote in the bloc's elections. These Europeans were disenfranchised by British ineptitude and, it seems, outright discrimination. But look beyond that group, and there are 17.5 million more people who are of voting age, who are resident in the EU, and who have been formally excluded from the elections. A significant number of them are in the German capital, Berlin, where progressive civil society groups are fed up with the way so many of the city's residents are blocked from the ballot. This week, we're in Berlin to talk about these residents without voting rights with Severin Lenglet of the group Citizens for Europe. We also cast a make-believe ballot in a symbolic EU election with James Rosalind of the group Democracy in Demitte. We begin the show with Lucy Thomas, the executive director of Give Something Back to Berlin, a group that brings together migrants, locals, and refugees. Lucy spoke with us at Refugio, a venue where many old and new Berliners live and work. We talked about some of the key ideas and concepts underpinning her work, starting with arrival cities.
There isn't a rival city to the arrival city of Berlin. It's basically because no city really rivals Berlin in the sense of how it welcomes newcomers. It's different to other cities in the sense that it's a lot younger, and it has always been a city of high migration. It's always been a migratory city, even very early on. What's different as well in Berlin about how we welcome people here and how we have a different type of internationalization compared to other big German cities is that there's a really strong grassroots civil societal activism that you just don't find on the same scale as compared to somewhere like Hamburg or Munich in particular. And I think people here are very open to international communities. Civil society just takes action a lot on many more topics. The refugee crisis of 2015 was just dealt with automatically in a very matter of fact. Of course, we will mobilize and gather and create grassroots initiatives for this type of work. We tend to use the words inclusion, cultural inclusion. We tend to talk about people just needing the same basic things that all newcomers to new cities need. So like cultural, creative, professional and social inclusion into different networks. Terms like integration, assimilation are less fruitful because we wouldn't be talking about those terms when we're talking about expats, about more privileged migrants. The four basic things don't really ever go away, and that's to learn German, to learn English, to practice those languages. It's to be able to have access to creative outlets, to play music, enjoy art, to really wind down. It's also to be able to have a home with Wi-Fi, a place where you can connect to your family and friends back home and stay on top of things. And of course, what we also see is that people just love to get together and enjoy a home-cooked meal. People love to share the recipes from their home country and just spend some time. Even if you don't have a common language, you can always enjoy some food together. And that really never changes.
Next word, open. This seems pretty voguish.
It's not, because it's real. We have real openness, and that's different from pretending to be open.
What does that mean, and why is it so commonly used at Refugio?
We realized that people were calling things refugee this and refugee that, or the things that are not for refugees don't have any name. And what we were thinking about is, well, actually our programming is open. Like, we do not ask where you're from. We do not ask you to sign up. We do not ask you to make a commitment. We do not even want to know where you're from. So whether you're a local teenager from a relatively deprived background or area, or whether you're someone who's come here to work, or whether you're someone who's come here to seek asylum, it really is for everyone. And so we have the open music school, the open kitchen, open art shelter. And also, this word open doesn't just apply to the participants themselves. The word open applies to the activities within the group. So everything is identified as something that the community themselves wants to do. So open means it can transform into anything.
You play in a band.
I do.
So are you teaching newcomers to join a band in order to get ahead?
So our music project is obviously my favorite. We're not supposed to have favorites, but it's my favorite. And so together with the founder of the music project, Tom Young, we have started a program where we have now identified 15 to 20 of the students who are ready to form bands. So we are starting to help them curate those. And also what I do specifically, though, is give opportunities to mainstream gigs and shows and festivals. We take part in the Fête de la Musique, which is a well-known Berlin-wide festival. We create stages. We're asked to create stages so that more mainstream shows actually do open up to more marginalized community and musicians.
Okay, last word, voting.
Yes.
something that is on your mind.
Yes, definitely.
But not everyone who comes to Refugio can vote. In fact, probably the majority of people won't be voting in the European elections.
Exactly, yeah. Voting, and I think the whole topic of political mobilization for non-voters is something that's been high on our agenda since we began. We really believe that people need to also understand the political system that they have been placed in their host country. And we really believe also in the solidarity of using or mobilizing young people to use their voice for their new friend, for a newcomer friend, for someone who doesn't have a voice. And also we find it really important, and something that we strongly advocate for, is also collecting the voices and the opinions, even having symbolic voting mechanisms in place to carry those results to politicians, to invite politicians to come and speak to non-voters as such. And we found that this really yields great results when it helps policymakers include those opinions.
There's an absurdity to the idea that we expect people to settle comfortably in a place where they don't have the means to do the settling. And there's a political dimension to that.
Exactly. There's a political dimension that, I mean, it's interesting that one of the big programs of the German government is called Living Democracy, Demokratie Leben, which really focuses on the democratic inclusion of newcomers and marginalized groups. But yeah, I mean, it's one thing to include people in societal processes. However, you really give them a clear message that it only goes so far. There's no point in engaging in local politics and maybe joining a political party because you won't be able to vote. So it really seems slightly absurd to demand of people coming from also very different political systems to democratize and to take on our Western democratic values, societal values. However, still give them that very strong, clear red line that they're not going to be able to cross. And so I guess the motivation for some is to really feel even more disempowered and disenfranchised than they did perhaps already in their home countries, where democratic process were also not adhered to. So it's a very difficult topic, I think. I think you can't expect people and demand of people to change their political views or the way they perceive democracy, the way we perceive political systems, and regain trust in new political systems, yet not allow them to fully participate in these.
There was an event where you focused in on this.
Yes, exactly. So we invited many different activist groups, people like the Free Hungarian Embassy, Citizens for Europe, other groups that are really involved with researching and developing questions around transnational identity, but also what does it mean to vote, who's included in Europe, what is even Europe right now, and what is the EU right now. And I think this is a question we can't just be asking young Europeans or Europeans overall, but European citizens, but also the people that are European citizens with non-EU identities, nationalities, because otherwise we're asking them to quote-unquote integrate into a system that then shows them these big barriers.
So I'm Séverine Langlais. I work for Citizens for Europe. It's a civil society organization and social business based in Berlin. And we strive for the representation of all marginalized communities. We have very different projects, and one of them is Voting Right for All, which is a campaign that we started in 2011.
Excellent. Okay. You've got a few numbers which are really, really interesting. So take us through those, Séverine.
So, yeah, this is very impressive numbers because, for example, in Berlin, which has more than 3 million inhabitants, there are 404,000 people that are not allowed to vote at the next European election, so this Sunday. In Germany, this affects 6.2% of the population of voting age. So it means more than 5 million people that are not allowed to vote next Sunday. And at the European level, it's 17.5 million people that are excluded from the European election.
Tell me a little bit about what we know about that 17.5 million, if you can.
Yes, I mean, these 17.5 million are residents in the European Union. They are third country nationals, so it means they are not mobile citizens from inside the European Union. Exactly how many are just arrived and how many have been living here for years, this I couldn't say. But, for example, in Germany, like, we know that many people have been living here for 5, 10, 15 years, 20 years. I mean, we cannot say that this is a huge amount of refugees. And also, you know, one day we did a street action and we asked the people, how many years do you think people should live in the country to have the right to vote? And most of the people answered 1 year or 3 years. But I mean, if you have been 3 years in a city and it really affects your daily life, if you are working here or even living here, you don't have even to work, but whatever you do here, I think it's important to have the opportunity to decide on the decisions that are affecting your life.
So when it comes to some of the modeling that you have done, you sort of modeled how this plays out in a 751-member parliament. It's 33 seats.
At the European level, it's about 33 seats on the 751 seats that would represent third country nationals. So it's very impressive and it's very absurd that the third country national doesn't have the right to decide who is going to fill these seats.
So let me get this straight. Member states get their seats based on the total population of their countries. But when it comes to granting full representation to those people that they've already counted, they don't count the full amount.
Exactly.
And they would all be of voting age, the ones that you are referring to there.
Yes, exactly, because there are 22.5 million third country nationals in Europe, in the European Union, in the 28 member states, but 17.5 are in the voting age.
If you talk to the public authorities about this, what is their most common excuse for not granting a wider franchise?
What the politicians mostly say is that, first of all, we should change the constitution, and it's very complex. But the main argument of the opponent of the voting right for all is to say that these people, they can just take the German citizenship, the citizenship of the country where they live. And we disagree with that for many reasons. First reason is that many people are not allowed to have two citizenships. So it means that they would lose the citizenship of their country. And for example, I have a friend of mine, she's from China, and they separated with a partner. She had to get German citizenship to have the same citizenship as a child. And then now when she goes to China, where she grew up, she has to apply for a visa. And this is completely ridiculous. It's second argument that we have, we say that, for example, in Germany, to get the citizenship is also linked to your income. So it means that if you earn money, you can get the citizenship, but it's not, maybe not so much, but still we find it ridiculous to link the citizenship with the income. I mean, there are some people that come from very poor countries where they really need the asylum and the possibility to live here. And it means that you are rich, you have the right to have the citizenship and indirectly the voting right. And you don't have money, you don't have the right to have the citizenship and the voting right. So this is ridiculous. So the thought behind is absurd.
Perhaps governments and perhaps political parties are very worried about creating a broader electorate that doesn't suit their points of view because they just don't want more voters out there that may not agree with their policies or kick them out of government.
So I don't think really that it's an argument. I mean, if people have the voting right and they have been living here for many years, they will decide on what politics is nicer for their own life. And migrants' population is very diverse, so we cannot say they are all left-wing or all conservatives.
Berlin is a particularly active city, it seems, when it comes to this issue. There are even events in the run-up to the voting on Sunday in Germany, including an event in the neighborhood of Mitte. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, they are organizing symbolic votes. So during 3 days, it's where they invite the people who don't have the right to vote to give their voice and then calculate the number of votes and give the result and say, for example, we had 5,000 people who came to the vote and they voted for this political party.
It's a way of underlining how disenfranchised so many people are.
Yes, and in Berlin, it's especially a huge number because one Berliner on four is like foreigner. And for example, in Berlin, now we talk about the European election, but as a state election, the European citizens also don't have the right to vote. And Berlin is a city, but it's also a state, and the state decides a lot on the daily life of these people.
You're originally from France, but came to Berlin a while ago, and you still don't have the vote. Tell me about that.
I came to Germany in 2005, and normally people who move to Berlin, who have the German citizenship, after 3 months they have the right to vote. And for me it has been since 2006, and I still don't have the right to vote for the state election, and I find it very unfair. Of course I could apply for the German citizenship, especially because my daughter is German. She's French, German and Greek, actually. But politically I don't think it's the right solution.
So Séverine, one important thought to me is that there are so many parties out there right now that talk about open borders activists. They even talk about something called the Great Replacement. This idea that there is a conspiracy out there to replace white Europeans or people of Judeo-Christian heritage with people from different cultures. What is your response to that?
I mean, I wouldn't even like to debate on this topic because I think debating with them on this topic is entering their racist frame. And I think it's a completely ridiculous thought to believe in a conspiracy on that. It's so racist. I mean, these people, they are always talking about integration and people who live here should be integrated and they just see assimilation. But they don't see that, for example, a very important part for integration is that also that the society where people live gives them the chance to participate. And if they don't give them this chance to participate, then they treat them as citizens of second class. So then there is a problem.
Hello. I am here for the symbolic voting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Can I have my recording on and maybe even make a vote?
Yeah, you can, okay. Of course. Yeah. Hi.
James.
My name's also James.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Are you from the great UK?
I am from the great UK. How did you guess?
I'm newly Belgian.
Oh, really?
Because of Brexit.
Yeah, I'm newly German. Well, dual citizen, German, British.
Dual citizen, yeah.
So, James, tell me about symbolic voting. Is that the right name for what's going on here in Mitte today?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's exactly. It's like a symbolic election. It's quite new. We did it for the 2017 national elections in Germany, but I think it's the first time it's happened at EU elections. And it's certainly only in Mitte. It's only in this borough of Berlin. It's not extended beyond Mitte yet. So, yeah, it's in the kind of beginning, little teething stages, yeah.
What's with Mitte?
What's with Mitte? I don't know. I guess we're just like a very aware borough. I think also, to be fair, we also have a very, very large migrant population. So it's a very relevant topic for us. Like there's a significant proportion of the population in Mitte who can't, they just can't vote. They can't participate in any election. And that's something we really want to address, yeah.
Is it more a kind of awareness-raising thing about the need to expand the franchise, or does this really have a concrete political end goal?
Well, that is the end goal. Yeah, that is a concrete end goal. We're serious about it. We want to extend the franchise. We want any person who's lived for a certain number of time, that's the thing we can discuss about, like 5 years or, you know, how many years you want to take as the time. But we want people who live seriously in Germany and are their lives are invested in Germany. We want them to also be able to vote irrespective of what passport they have. Yeah.
You speak to people on the far right, they will say, oh, these are just open borders activists, they want to dilute our culture. What's your baseline response to that, James?
Well, I mean, there's many things you could say to that. One thing you could say is a lot also you hear from conservatives or even the far right is like the accusation people come here and they don't take our country seriously. They don't get involved. They should integrate. They should participate. And there's this accusation these people are separate. They're living separately. They're just living in their cultures, like inverted commas, whatever that means. Like, but at the same time, they're not allowed to vote. They're not allowed to participate. So that's like a double bind. So we're saying, no, we want people to be able to really take part in German society.
James, why don't you take me through the voting? Would I be able to vote, do you think, today?
Yeah. Do you live in Germany?
No, I live in Brussels.
Well, yeah. So the exact criteria for how long you need to have lived in Germany, we need to deal. But we'll give you a free pass for today and say, yes, you can definitely vote.
Great, thanks.
So we'll make you an honorary member of our neighborhood.
James, where are we right now? This looks pretty formal.
Yeah, exactly. We've set up a voting station in our community center. Yeah.
Great. So what we're looking at is a ballot box, which is white in cardboard, and then we have a sort of yellow private voting area. Is that the idea?
Exactly. So you can vote anonymously as you would in any other voting station. So there you go. So in you go. There's a list for you to choose from. There's a pen. There you go.
Fantastic. Okay, great. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to choose from my list. You have a vote. Sie haben eine Stimme. Okay. I've put my cross where my loyalties lie for the moment. Then should I fold it up?
Yeah. You can fold it up and put it in our box.
Excellent. Okay. I'll just fold it in three. And that's the sound of the table creaking. And then I'll pop it in the box. Okay, cool. So my vote is now in the box. Mm-hmm. What happens next?
So the votes are going to be counted, and then we'll tally them all together with the other voting stations around Mitte and send out the results. Yeah.
And when you say send out the results, what is that likely to be sent out on? Like community websites, or where can we find the results?
Well, it's also being coordinated by the local authority, Bezirksamt Mitte, so that they'll also put out a press release about what the votes were. Yeah.
Okay, great. And when it comes to the voting that you've seen so far, what kind of people have been coming in? Have they been mostly third country nationals?
It's been a lot of people who've lived a long, long time, most of their lives, even in Berlin, maybe 20, 30 years already in Berlin, and they haven't been able to vote that whole time. So those are a lot of the people we've been seeing. Yeah, they're definitely not passers through. They're people who've invested a lot of their lives here. A big amount of the communities that have been voting here would have been guest workers at some point. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your personal thoughts about symbolic voting.
Well, I just think it's a really important issue an issue that doesn't really get thought about enough. It resonates on a lot of levels, especially in Germany, this idea like who is German? Who are Germans? Who are the people that form our society? Do you have to have this idea of blood, like German blood? This is a very dubious idea that, you know, you can immediately make associations with who might stand for that idea, but that's an idea that's still very present, and it's present in the Constitution, and it's present in a lot of the laws. So these are things that we really need to think about, like how can we adapt German society for the modern world?
Do you have any turnout figures yet for the symbolic vote in Mitte? Like maybe how many people overall will be participating?
We don't yet. The last time we had the election in 2017, it was like under 1,000. It wasn't like more than, it wasn't thousands. We had it like, you know, in the hundreds. Yeah. But we're hoping to build on that. You know, it's got to start somewhere.
Good luck with the rest of the voting. And are you going to be paying any attention to the actual European elections?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'll be voting myself. Yeah. And in general, I mean, I think, yeah, I'll be very anxious to see how the far right does in the whole of Europe. Yeah. So I'll be watching out for that, fingers crossed.
You can check our website at euscream.com for links to topics discussed in the show and for more episodes. Thanks for listening.